Welcome to the Missouri Net Press Pass. My name is Darren Jobe with Bob Pretty and Brent Martin. And there's been a lot of budget work in the House, in both chambers, I assume.
House.
And just the House.
The House starts the budget, and then it moves to the Senate.
Okay.
But this year is a little bit different because the Senate is going to do a lot more of the work than it normally does. And that sounds strange as it comes out. But usually the House does a lot of the really hard work at the very beginning, does a lot of the work, sends over to the Senate its blueprint. The Senate has its own blueprint, and then they have to reach some sort of compromise. Well, this year, the House was pretty well done with its work when the revelation came out that state revenues aren't going anywhere. In fact, they won't move. They won't come up. And Governor Nixon announced that he wanted $500 million cut out of next year's budget, and so they did not. The House had eliminated maybe about $50 million. Then they took out another $50 million. They headed out a little bit over $100 million. And then the big action that came during the House floor debate was an agonizing decision from some of those who really support public schools as much as any. In fact, the amendment was given by Representative Maynard Wallace, who's from Thornfield, very well known as a huge advocate of education, former school administrator. And he made the motion to amend the budget to remove the increase in public school funding formula, the increase $105 million, which would have paid for the next step of the new school funding, the seven-year phase-in of the new school funding formula. And it was, I don't know, I don't think it was really controversial because I think it was something that everybody thought we, in fact, Maynard Wallace told us, it's something we have to do. You know, want to do it, have to do it. And when the House did that, as far as the House is concerned, that balanced the budget. They got about $224 million in reductions from the budget submitted by Governor Nixon. They combined that with an expected $300 million that's still coming with the federal government that they might or might not spend, and they have a balanced budget. They meet the $500 million that the governor wanted.
Bob, didn't I see that I'm not sure which representative said that this proposed budget is fine, except for it's not including $300 million. I'm not sure which soundbite I heard.
The $300 million is in there, and the House, I don't know what the Senate will do with it. The House is going to keep it in there. There was some real anxiety of whether the $300 million would come from Congress or not. Governor Nixon has said that he really wants the $300 million because of the uncertainty. He wants to budget it in 2012 because it might not be there for 2011. And 2012's looking really bad as well. The budget we're working on, of course, is 2011, starts July 1st. And he said we need to postpone it. While the House and Chris Kelly, a Democrat, and Jay Nixon's a Democrat, Republicans, of course, control the House, but Chris Kelly, who's a former Budget Committee chairman, said he would prefer leaving it in there. You don't have to spend it, but put it in there. The budget is balanced. If revenues pick up, it's available. If not, you don't touch it, and you roll it into 2012.
Are we early, Bob?
No, we're not.
We're not?
No, we're not. Not at all. In fact, we're pretty much on schedule. What has happened, though, is the $300 million has thrown everything into a cocked hat late in the process. The governor drafted a budget that planned on this $300 million coming in. Then Congress was late in getting this bill approved, and so that cast a lot of doubt on whether we were going to get the $300 million, and that was one of the reasons why a couple of years ago they basically hit the reset button on the whole state budget process. And while the legislature was out on spring break, then this whole thing began to blossom quite a bit. So they've been back now a week after spring break, and they've been looking at this $300 million. Nixon has decided now that Congress is going to send the money here or provide the money. It's for Medicaid. He has run kind of hot and cold. First of all, he had this $300 million in the budget and was counting on it being in the budget. Then it didn't appear to be in the budget, so they thought, okay, we're going to restructure the budget and make recommendations or do things to save that money plus this part of the $500 million shortfall. Well, now the money is in, and they're saying, okay, we don't want to put that money in the budget because we want to kind of bank it to get us through what's going to be even a tougher time in the next fiscal year. And so there's now a disagreement between whether we put that money in the budget to make it appear to be balanced, and then have the governor do withholdings as the year goes on if the economy doesn't turn around, and most people don't think it will. Or do we just bank this $300 million to get us through an even tougher year in 2012? So now we've got, now the money's there, and nobody knows what the heck to do with it. And that's why you have the House and you have the Senate and you have the governor and all of these competing forces that are going to get together and try to figure out, okay, what is this budget going to look like? I expect that the state Senate is going to make even more cuts in the budget, probably is not likely to use much of the $300 million, if any of it at all, and send the Senate back an even leaner budget. The last time I talked to the budget chairman, Rob Mayer, he was one of those who talked about taking this $300 million and setting it aside for the next fiscal year. So the Senate and the House might be on opposite sides of this. Problem is, if they pass the budget that has the $300 million in it, the legislature is basically saying, here, Governor, is a budget that is potentially unbalanced. And it's going to be up to you then to assume the bad guy hat of making cuts and withholds of $300 million or more in the next fiscal year. The legislature did this to Bob Holden. Mm-hmm. The legislature sent Bob Holden an intentionally unbalanced budget so that he would have to make cuts that would, of course, not look good for him when it came time for reelection. And in fact, it worked.
Well, lawmakers would argue he did not cooperate with them.
Well, that's true.
In making the cut.
This was a very, very difficult time. But nonetheless, it's the once the legislature passes a budget, it is the governor's responsibility to balance that budget, to make sure that we don't spend more than we get. And so one way or another, whether this $300 million is in there or not, it's going to be up to Governor Nixon after the 1st of July to decide whether things are going to have to be cut and withheld, and he's done that this year.
What about all the tax credits? It appears to keep coming up.
You know, it's interesting because I had not ever heard. That was poor structure.
Try it again.
I've never heard the House Democrats talk against tax credits. And all of a sudden it was a crusade. And there were times when Paul Lavoda and Sarah Lampe sounded like Jason Crow. They wanted to make tax credits subject to appropriations. Jason Crow, of course, is a Senate Republican. The Senate Republicans made it a crusade last year, and now the House Democrats. And to be fair, the House Democrats argue that we need to look at the tax giveaways. But, in some ways, people are talking about tax credits as a panacea. I don't see it as a panacea. And, tax credits are approved for a reason. We'll have to see. I don't know what the talk is or not. And then, of course, we had the wonderful confrontation in the House.
I heard about it, and I saw it. And we have a link to the YouTube video.
We have a link, we have audio, we have everything, and we had chaos in the House, which we have had periodically over the years. We have had angry words exchanged off mic. We have had lawmakers get close to blows, have to be restrained, or what it seems like close to blows, a flashpoint, a lot of anger, a lot of emotion. That's what happened there. Jeff Rorta is a minority whip, number third ranking Democrat in the House, and he was giving a very angry speech on the House floor, harshly critical of Republicans. Tim Jones, a Republican for Eureka, obviously did not like what he heard, charged toward Rorta, said some things to him off mic. Rorta, and you can hear in the audio that we have and also the video from KCRG here in Jefferson City.
KRCG.
That one too.
It's a long way. I'm very tired. And I apologize to Kermit Miller. Kermit did a great job of filming it. So we have that. We have the audio. We have everything. We have the apology from Jeff Rorta. We have the apology, non-apology. Listen to them both. Our society, and I'll get off my little tangent, is excellent at giving apologies that really aren't apologies.
Oh, yes.
And you can listen to both of them and you evaluate what you think of them.
I refer to those as backhanded apologies.
But anyway,
it's also a matter of the non-acceptance of blame that's very good, too.
But Tim Jones confronted him, said some things off mic, and you hear Rorta say, if you want to hear it, and it escalates from there. And
MissouriNet.com.
We've seen that before, but it's ugly and it shouldn't take place, and it took place with children in the chamber. And I think some of us sometimes, even those of us who've been reporting on it, make light of it, think, oh, this is kind of fun, which it is a little bit of fun. But then you reflect on it, and it's just the House has become just such a partisan, harshly partisan chamber. It's always been more partisan than the Senate. The partisan sentiments are much higher in any House of Representatives for a variety of reasons we won't go into now. But it has become such a harsh partisan chamber that I'm almost surprised this doesn't happen more often. Some of the things they say on mic should not be said by any responsible citizen in this state.
And chances are they get away with it because they're in the House chamber, so they do have certain protections from allegations of slander, libel, and things like that. You're immune in that case when it comes up in natural debate. So there are things that people are saying about one another that, first of all, in polite society outside the chamber wouldn't be said, and certainly inside the chamber one would think that one's elected officials would behave more like adults than behave like seven-year-olds on a schoolyard. Unfortunately, in the House at least, in too many instances recently, that has not been the case. The state Senate, I think, has cured a lot of its really partisan nastiness that we underwent during the years that Ken Jacob and Peter Kinder were at each other's throats almost every hour of every day. And so the Senate, I think, has moved back to where it used to be in terms of the Senate with its collegial attitude, where party lines are less stark. But the House, where the party numbers are closer than they are in the Senate, it's going to be a warfare. Unfortunately, they haven't figured out a way how to be warring statesmen. They are warring schoolboys and schoolgirls right now. And it's kind of a disappointing thing when you bring young people to the legislative chambers from the school groups that are coming in right now, trying to show them how government should operate. They sit in the House chamber and they see this kind of thing. And both of these gentlemen should have been spanked and sent to stand in a corner and then sent to bed without dinner.
Nose to the corner.
Yeah,
and to bring it back and maybe something, I do think that it should not be overlooked that this week certain people who are very, very big supporters of public schools took a very difficult step, mm-hmm. gave up on the idea of being able to make it to in, they've been increasing funding to education. It has not only not been cut, it's gotten increases. They gave up on it. They said for the betterment of the state, the schools have to take less. Not less, they're frozen. It's the whole argument on
sure.
there. But the frozen where it is. But in what Bob was saying, there were some lawmakers who were statesmen who decided for the better of the state, this is the painful step we need to take.
I don't want to have the whole focus of our little podcast this week only on the House and the disorder in mm-hmm. the House. I want to talk about an extraordinary day that happened in the state Senate on Tuesday before we wrap up here.
Absolutely.
The Senate leadership decided, Charlie Shields, who's a big advocate of long-term planning by the state Senate for the future of the state and has been for some time, when they came back from the spring break with the idea they were going to have to find $500 million to cut out of the next fiscal year's budget, Senator Shields, before they left on break, they started something on the Senate webpage called Rebooting Missouri, where people were invited to send in suggestions about things to do to make government smaller, more effective, more efficient. And they had, the last count I heard was somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 emails, most of which were very thoughtful. There were a few people who were, you know, off in left field somewhere making some comments, but most of the comments and suggestions were very thoughtful. So the Senate basically canceled its entire debate day, except for about an hour late in the evening, and they put together eight committees of four senators each, and they broke all these emails down, and they parceled them out to these four Senate committees, these eight Senate committees on the basis of topic, and these committees spent the whole day, starting at 9 o'clock in the morning, going through these things, listening to department heads, listening to some other folks who wanted to come in and talk with recommendations, looking at these recommendations, and then they came in, and that afternoon, in about an hour and a half, they put up more than 50 suggestions that came out of this whole process on what to change in state government to make it work better, to make it more efficient, to make it run more cheaply.
Cut costs.
And there were some really, really outstanding ideas. They were very complimentary of the forthrightness of the Nixon administration's people to come in with ideas, especially the economic development director who came in with something that committee thought was really eye-opening when it came to, I think, tax credits, as I recall. But nonetheless, they're taking all of these things, you're going to put them back on the webpage. Rebooting Missouri remains on the webpage for people to continue to send in ideas. But for one day, the state Senate put aside any kind of partisanship. It put aside any kind of right-left philosophical arguments about this or that piece of legislation. and for one day they focused entirely on what to do to make government work better. I have never heard of anything like this being done in the history of the state of Missouri. Certainly in my 36 years of covering the legislature, I've never seen anything done like this. And the spirit within the Senate, I thought, was incredible. And the insight that the Senate gained through this process was amazing. And I think if you want to think of government operating in the best, most serious way possible in terms of looking for ways to serve the people and to do so effectively and efficiently, this was a day that a lot of people are going to be pointing to, I hope, for years to come as an example. I don't normally get very gushy about something the state Senate does, as most reporters don't, or the legislature. But this was a day that was so unique and was so special that the Senate deserves a great deal of praise for really looking at governing in a way that I don't think the legislature ever has before. And it involved the legislative branch and the executive branch. They'd done a lot of talking about judicial issues, too, so all branches were involved. It was just an incredible day.
I think I read a couple of the ideas. They are the kind of ideas that have to come from people on the ground, boots on the ground, right, who understand a process. And I thought it was a great idea.
One of the big ideas that came through the emails was to combine parks and conservation. Mm-hmm. Parks is now in DNR, and conservation is a separate agency. And I sat in on the meeting where they talked about that, and I think my story Monday is going to have some stuff about that. But it's not that easy, and it might not even be possible.
Right. I saw one about the way they acquire vehicles.
Yeah.
It's not very cost efficient. You got each department buying its own mm-hmm. vehicles through different channels, mm-hmm. through different suppliers. Mm-hmm. All of these things, they could be looked at.
How all of this filters out in terms of service to the public is something that's yet to be seen. I mean, we're in a time where no matter what you do, there are going to be people who get hurt. Mm-hmm. We just don't have the money. But this whole process now has triggered some very important things being considered in the Senate, and the way these things are carried forward is going to be very, very important. So that's the next step, is to take all of this great work and carry it forward.
Well, Bob, Brent, thanks for your time this morning. We're going to keep watching this. There's a lot more debate to happen, I'm sure. So thanks for your time. You've been listening to the Missouri Net Press Pass. My name's Darren Jobe. Have a good day.